You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. One of the most profound and moving ways to observe Veterans Day is to hear veterans share their stories. And that happens tomorrow night, Wednesday the 8th, at Ann Arbor's Hill Auditorium. Stories of Service, an evening with veterans. Six vets sharing stories of service ranging from World War II to Afghanistan. It's a celebration of vets, their families, and their friends. One of the veterans is here with us now. Kathy Hay served stateside in the Air Force during the Vietnam War era and then became one of the first uniformed female officers on the Ann Arbor Police Department. Kathy Hay, welcome to Stateside.
Well, thank you, Cynthia. I'm delighted to be here.
So when did you enlist in the Air Force and why?
I ran out of money. I was going to college up at State. I got 1 year in and I ran out of money and I thought, what in the world am I going to do? And then I had a 12-hour shift in the basement of the pizza pit. And I figured I better do something. Now, my mother had joined the Navy during World War II. Vietnam was heating up and I decided if she can do it, so can I.
And you chose the Air Force because?
The Navy recruiter went home early that day.
It was that flip of a coin.
It was.
You were ready to sign up.
I was.
So I could have been talking to you as a naval veteran had that Navy recruiter not gone home early.
You got it.
What year was this?
This was 1964.
All right. And that is as things were beginning to heat
That's
up
right.
in Vietnam. What did you do in the Air Force?
I was a communications operator. I spent my entire tour of duty in Texas, outside of LBJ's ranch, processing messages between all the major Air Force bases in the United States.
And how long were you in?
I was just in a little over 2 years. I got married, and my husband's tour of duty was up, so we came back to Ann Arbor for him to go to school.
I'm sure you didn't realize at the time that you're going through it how something like a tour of duty in the military can alter the course of your life. When did that become apparent to you?
As soon as I landed at basic training, I was not the most disciplined of children, unfocused, was not living up to my potential. And the military will take care of that for you. They make sure that you are on board with discipline, teamwork. And like I will say to anyone who asks, I really learned how to iron.
I have heard many parents say after a youngster joins any branch and they come home for that first visit, and quite often it's, who are you and what have you done with my kid? This
exactly.
polite person who hangs up clothes and the room is immaculate and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am.
That's right. It couldn't be more accurate.
Now, on a more serious note, you served stateside, but it was during the Vietnam War. How did that, what was going on in our country at the time, how did that impact the way that people treated you regarding your service or the way that you regarded it yourself?
People tended to group the police department with the military because the police department was often sent out on protests. I, at that time, was assigned to work the football games at the Michigan Stadium. And for the most part, you sat with your back to the crowd. And we got pelted with everything you can possibly imagine. Not things to hurt us, but things to sort of insult us. And I got hit with a bologna sandwich full of mayonnaise that slid down the back of my jacket. I was getting it out of my hair and my jacket for days afterwards. I did not tell people that I had been in the service. In fact, when I became a police officer, as recently as last month, cops that I rode with did not know I had been in the service. You did not talk about it. You just went on with your life. That's all.
And when you think of the service members who returned from fighting in Vietnam and didn't get that chance to...
That's right.
They weren't welcomed.
That's
and they
right.
didn't get a chance to talk about it, debrief
right.
with it. You stuffed it down inside.
That's right. And mine wasn't nearly as traumatic as theirs.
Right.
I mean, Texas can be traumatic, but not like that.
Now, why did you join the police department when you got back to Ann Arbor?
My training in the Air Force had the same kind of machinery that the Ann Arbor Police Department did. And that was ticker tape that was used to communicate between departments. And that got me my job at the police department.
And you were a little bit of a rebel, weren't you? One of the first women to be a uniformed officer. What were some of the ups and downs of that?
Well, I got a divorce, and I was a single mother with two young children. And I realized that police officers made more money than communications officers. So I decided that I would try it. Chief Krasny was experimenting with it. There had been a class before me of women, and I was in the second class. The ups were that, you know, I felt like I was doing something for my community. The downs were that initially we were in a short, tight skirt, nylons, heels, and a bobby hat. Oh. Now, you just try doing the same job as the guys do, wearing that outfit. And it wasn't long afterwards that we transitioned over
to letting you wear pants.
Yes.
Didn't you kind of take the bull by the horns and help the transition along a little?
Maybe a little bit. I was the one on the midnight shift. And when you're in a short, tight skirt and you slide over a vinyl seat in the middle of the winter, it's going to wake you up no matter how much sleep you got that day. And so I just went down to the uniform store and bought a pair of men's uniform pants and wore them to work, thinking no one would notice. And I was wrong.
They noticed.
They noticed. They called me into the office the next day, and they wanted me to turn around and see how I looked in them. And then I was told not to put anything in the pockets so that it didn't destroy the line. Couldn't get away with that today.
But it changed.
It changed. And I laugh about it now.
Now, the story that you're going to tell this week is not only about your military service, but it's also about your son who is also in the Air Force.
That's right. My youngest son joined the Air Force right out of high school. And the rumor was he had killed someone during combat. He did not want to talk about it. And I did not ask.
Where did he serve?
I don't know.
You don't even know where he was stationed.
No, because it was some covert operation. One of his friends said Grenada, but I don't know where it was. And he was not the same. I mean, he was severely manic depressive when they finally diagnosed it.
And none of that had been there before?
He'd already been kind of a hyper kid, but not like this. This was different. Something was wrong, obviously.
And how did that turn out?
Well, not well.
Yeah.
He did go to the VA hospital for help, and they did help a lot. But the problem was he was refractory. He would not respond well to traditional treatments, so they had to keep him on experimental meds. And one night, his heart simply stopped beating, and they could not explain it. The coroner found no evidence of overdose. It just stopped beating. It could have been the experiments, maybe not. But we both lost the battle that day.
Which leads us to talk about Fisher House, Michigan, because there is one in the works in Ann Arbor, and they're looking for a location for a Fisher House in Detroit. And this event at Hill Auditorium Wednesday night is helping benefit Fisher House. What is Fisher House, and why does it matter to you?
Well, I was fortunate when my son was in the VA hospital. I lived close enough I could drive any time to see him. I never saw another family member of a patient there. They all live too far away. And so this is my passion. Fisher Houses are all over the country, except in Michigan.
And what do they do? What do they provide?
They provide housing for military families while their loved ones are being treated at a VA hospital or a military facility.
So the same concept as Ronald McDonald House?
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. They don't pay for lodging. And our goal is that they won't even pay for laundry soap. They won't pay for food. Everything there is free for them as long as they need it.
We're on the way to having the one in Ann Arbor. And as I say, they're looking for a location for one in Detroit, which has got to be heartening. What would having a Fisher House mean for Michigan's veterans and active military and their families?
The savings to our military families in monies will be incredible. But that's not the big savings. The big savings is when a military veteran is hospitalized. He may get great care, but there is no better medicine than having your family near.
This is a special night, Stories of Service, an evening with veterans. And when you're thinking that you have veterans, including you, sharing your story, so you're talking from World War II to Afghanistan, but there generally is a real common thread, isn't there?
There is, and I think that happens with all veterans, sort of a cohesiveness, a bonding. You don't even have to say it. as soon as you find out that someone is a veteran, it's like they're a long-lost brother.
Well, the public is welcome. And again, Stories of Service, an evening with veterans, is at Ann Arbor's Hill Auditorium this Wednesday evening, November 8th. For information, visit the stateside page at michiganradio.org. And we've gotten a preview of this veteran's story. Kathy, hey, thank you for your service, and thank you for being with us on Stateside.
And thank you, Cynthia. It was a delight to be here.